Really, really, really excited about this because we've been talking about it all day. Actually, I first picked up on this story yesterday when I noticed Jonathan Willis's column at sportsnet.ca. And it was interesting to me because there has been a lot of talk about tanking. And in was a solution. This wasn't one of those columns where somebody's complaining and wow. No, no, here's a solution. Here's an idea. I like that. And then this morning, I just happened to tune into Dan Patrick on the Fox Sports Radio Network. They're talking about the exact same thing, the exact same idea, NHL, NBA. To me, and the one thing we know today talking about this, that everybody seems to have an opinion, one way or the other, strong. They're all strong, but everybody's got an opinion. So I'm really glad that Jonathan Willis can join us this afternoon. Writes for Sportsnet.ca, the Edmonton Journal, amongst many other sites, and he's good enough to spend some time to talk about. First of all, thanks for doing this, pal. Where did the idea for the column at Sportsnet.ca come first? Where did you come up with it?
Well, I wish I could take credit for the idea because I think it's a fantastic innovation. But it's been kicking around a few years. A fellow named Adam Gold, who's a PhD candidate, presented it at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference a few years ago, and I thought it was an excellent idea. And with the games between Buffalo and Arizona and really watching Buffalo fans cheer for Arizona goals in Buffalo, it really brought it to the forefront of my mind again.
So do you right now, as we sit here having this conversation, do you believe there is a legitimate issue with tanking in the NHL?
I do, and I think this is an idea that actually solves more than just the problem of tanking, because I kind of think with an 82-game season, it's easy to sort of lose perspective. And you mentioned I write for the Edmonton Journal. I watch a lot of Oilers hockey. The last 20 games of the year, pretty much every year the last few years, have been really hard to stay interested in just because they're not really playing for anything.
So walk us through, because again, as you mentioned and you point out in the article, that it comes from the 2012 Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, and it's a presentation made by Adam Gold, who's a PhD candidate. Can you give us the nuts and bolts of the idea?
Yeah, so it's a pretty simple idea at the heart of it. Basically, right now, the way things work is, you know, we have a weighted lottery for all the teams that miss the playoffs. Instead, what Gold proposed was that once a team is eliminated from the playoffs, it essentially enters a second tournament, if you will, where all the points it collects after being eliminated from the playoffs go towards the standings of this tournament. Now, at the end of the year, the team with the most points would win the first overall pick, the team with the second most points, second overall, and so on. And the advantage for a bad team is that they get way more games to collect these points. So if you're eliminated with 15 games to go, especially with shootout losses and things like that, you're probably going to collect more points than a better team that's eliminated with 3 games left to go. So it still helps teams that are bad get these good picks, but you get to cheer for wins, and you don't have the same advantage to tanking that you do now.
One of the examples, and I think just to flesh this out a little bit, was made in 2011 that under this system, the Oilers would have only earned the third overall pick. They had 12 games remaining once they were mathematically eliminated, but they just had as many points as St. Louis had in just 4 games after they were eliminated. So that, just to flesh it out, it does, you know, you might say, well, geez, you know, Buffalo's been out of it forever. Well, if they don't win, Jonathan, they're not going to get that high pick, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, that's more of a feature than a bug, because if you think about it that way, like, I think Brian Burke actually said this a few years ago in Vancouver, where he wanted a team that was either climbing really fast or falling really fast, because he didn't want to be in that sort of 8, 9, 10 bubble slot where it's very difficult to get the high-end talent in the draft, but you're also not good enough in the here and now a lot of times to contend for the cup. Well, this eliminates that. If you have a team that gets eliminated with 4 games left and they win their last 4 games, they have a good shot at a high pick. And so you don't have the same incentive at the start of the year to ice a terrible roster either, because you know you can finish 9th or 10th, go all out for the playoffs, and still maybe come away with a good pick if you finish strong.
One of the reasons that I was so attracted to this was that, you know, there seemed to be some significance given to the guy who's paying full freight for that ticket at the end of the season. And not to pick on the team that you see all the time, but, you know, nobody's asked the Oiler fan to pay less, right? You know, they're paying full freight for those tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you, even from a pure business perspective, if you're the Oilers owners, they keep reporting sellouts, but you watch the arena, there are a lot of empty seats there. And it's taken a few years to get to that point, but that's where we are. Whereas if you go to this system, all 82 games matter. It's sort of a way to inject some vitality and some importance into an 82-game season where, you know, if you're for half the league, the last few games don't matter at all. Whereas under this system, all the games matter.
With Jonathan Willis, authored a great column at sportsnet.ca. You can pick it up there and read it. It's about this plan from Adam Gold. The other component to this that Pat and I got into this afternoon was what it does to the trade deadline. Your observation, because it fundamentally could change how the NHL trade deadline is viewed or used, right?
Yeah, and I think I've had a lot of feedback, both for and against on this, and that's the one thing that I think pretty much even people who are in favor of the idea kind of see as a bit of a shortcoming is, you know, if you have to win these last 10 games no matter how terrible you are, so there's going to be less incentive for you to do the kind of fire sale that we see right now, mm-hmm. which also makes it harder for teams, you know, like Montreal did this year. They added Torrey Mitchell from Buffalo. They added Jeff Petrie from Edmonton. Well, maybe Edmonton and Buffalo would have kept those players if they knew they had to win games. So it has the potential of slowing down the trade deadline.
See, and that's where, you know, we debated it earlier, and I wonder, A, if it doesn't, you know, maybe push some trades just to the draft. B, if it doesn't push some trades to earlier in the season, then maybe the buyers have to be a little bit more aggressive. And C, I just wonder if it really makes that big a difference. And the example I made here was, you know, Calgary had to move Curtis Glencross either way. It wasn't, you know, about a tanking or selling situation. I'm fascinated. So you've had a lot of feedback on that, eh?
Yeah, and you mentioned Calgary, like, a few years ago. We think about Jay Bouwmeester, yep. or Jerome Iginla. Like, those guys had to go. You couldn't let them walk for nothing, right? They had to bring some kind of tangible return back. So I think we'd still see the big moves, the kind of moves that we, you know, we all tune into the trade deadline to observe. And if you lose a couple of the, you know, Torrey Mitchell for a seventh-round pick trades, who cares?
Jonathan, a couple of things on this. One, you mentioned reaction. Overall, what's, you know, in your world and your sphere of influence, how big a topic is this and what's the reaction been?
I've actually been really pleasantly surprised with how big it's taken off, some from my column, and then other people have also been kicking the idea around. And it's been considerably debated the last few years. I spend a lot of time following the Oilers, and of course, yeah. The draft lottery is always a discussion point there. But I think it's something that has a fair bit of traction in the media, especially right now with a guy like Connor McDavid. This right. is as good a time as ever to talk about it. And I think the reaction's been mostly positive.
Well, and you brought up two things in there that I want to ask you about. One, you said for the last couple of years, I got to be honest with you. I mean, there's always been the tinkering and everything, but it's this year in particular, and I think it is McDavid or even Eichel in that sense, and how profound the drops have been in Buffalo and Arizona and Toronto. Are we talking about something that's really kind of just, I don't know, it's a big deal because of all of those factors? It's trendy right now and maybe not as trendy next year, or wasn't, you know, as big a deal a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think that's a very legitimate perspective on things. I mean, we've seen the NHL change their draft rules the last for this year's draft and also for next year's yeah. draft, and that happened last summer in anticipation of McDavid. So it's a bigger issue now than it maybe will be in the future, but these great players come along every so often, and then it always gains currency then, right?
The other aspect, and I know there was a column today in Grantland as well that kind of outlined, you know, different opportunities, and they looked at it more from an NBA perspective. Is that one thing that maybe as hockey fans we got to understand, that this isn't just an NHL issue?
Yeah, and Gold's presentation actually took in the NBA as well. I'm trying to remember if it took in other sports. This is always something that's going to be an issue no matter what sport you're in, is how do you reward or how do you help bad teams pull themselves out of the basement without rewarding, you know, their failures?
Final couple for you. One, is this a juicy topic, one that's, like, I find it personally juicy. It's not a hill to die on for me, but I'm fascinated by the conversation. Where is it for you?
I don't know if I'd call it a hill to die on, just because we've seen NHL lockouts, two really significant NHL lockouts in the time that I've been really following the game, and right. and that to me is sort of the biggest But I think it's important, and I think it's a, not just a conversation worth having, but I think it's a far, it's a manifestly superior system to the draft lottery that we have right now, and it's something the league should be looking at.
So, and my follow-up to that is, with the adjustment next year, and you heard Elliot Friedman was on with us before, and he talked about the fact that, you know, as of next year, you could drop from first all the way to fourth. Is that significant enough, or is that just a Band-Aid solution yet again?
Well, I'm a little bit, I can kind of see it in both ways, because I do think it's a significant enough drop that you're not necessarily going to, you know, in December or January think, okay, well, I better rip my team apart. But at the same time, you still have the mathematically best odds if you finish dead last. You always have the incentive to really tear your team apart, and there's no countering incentive to try and win games. So even if you don't have a great incentive to lose, you don't have any incentive to win either, whereas with this system you would. And I think you can't get away with it, get away from that with the lottery system the way it is right now. I think you have to look at a proposal like this.
My final point for you, and it's more as an observer of how things have trended and changed and morphed in the conversation about hockey over the last decade. You know, originally when blogs came in, my God, you know, mainstream media, that'll go and everything. And then those guys with their fancy numbers and everything. And now we have enhanced stats. Is tanking something that every year we're going to evaluate or look at on some level, or a year from now, 2 years from now, am I going to call you and are we going to be able to still have this conversation? Or as we talked about with McDavid and Eichel, it's a little more pronounced and maybe, you know, it kind of goes away over time.
I think it'll, we'll see sort of the cyclical, everything in sports is cyclical, right? So at some years it's going to be less of a topic of conversation. But to me, we've really seen an advancement in the way we talk about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in terms of enhanced stats, but I mean, like college free agents. Look at how much attention college free agents get now. 10 years ago, they were just as important, but we never talked about them. To me, we've reached a point where we go more in depth on every issue, and if you're a really hardcore fan, you can have conversations about things that we would never have talked about 10 years ago, and that to me is a great thing.
All right, then you open up a can of worms. I gotta ask you this one, because it's one because I'm a little bit older. At least I consider myself a little bit older, and somewhere along the line, as sports fans, not necessarily hockey fans, do you agree with this? That we went from the only thing that matters is now, the only thing that matters is this game tonight, the only thing that matters is. To now, it almost seems as if what happens now is secondary to what might happen in the future, because we could draft this guy. We could have these picks. Have we seen that evolution? Do you see that evolution?
A little bit. And of course, I write for a lot of outlets. So the things that we're often asked to write by editors, not at Sportsnet, I'm thinking of another location, but a lot of times we're looking at forward-looking stuff a day or 2 days after a championship. There's just, it's a 12-month-a-year cycle. You don't have the same amount of time to really sit back and enjoy the moment, because you're always looking ahead. And I think it's a little unfortunate, but it's also unavoidable. When you become immersed in the team to this degree, you're always having one eye on the future, right?
Thank you for this. Really enjoyed the column, really enjoyed the conversation. It's a great, juicy topic, and nothing better than one that stirs emotions in people, and that's certainly what we've seen here. Congratulations on it. Encourage everybody to go to Sportsnet and check it out. Jonathan, thanks for doing this afternoon.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me on.